Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
What happens when a burnt-out HVAC tech turns part-time teaching into a full-blown recruiting pipeline? You get today's guest, Aaron Bay. And trust me, this episode is packed full of golden nuggets.
Look, Aaron isn't just another guy in a truck. He's building a culture-building machine who went from solo wrench turner to team builder, mentor, and leadership developer, all while keeping 100% employee retention. Let that sink in.
Not a typo. No one leaves. And the cheat code? Relationships. This guy invests in people like it's a religion. Friday Kringle in a book club. Yup. Marriage support for his techs by giving them anniversary gifts. Absolutely held to the yes.
We get into how he hires based on character, not credentials. Why younger techs thrive under his leadership and how the trades desperately need more leaders like him who get it.
So listen to the episode and understand the moral scenario that Aaron gives us to test the candidate's integrity and how he's quietly shaping the next generation, one HVAC recruit at a time.
It's leadership, it's culture, it's people over profit, and it's working. If you're tired of the same old BS, Aaron's story is a breath of fresh, well-filtered air.
Let's get into it, folks.
Welcome back to the Blue Collar BS Podcast, Brad. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle, and the hot, humid, muggy Detroit city is treating you well?
Oh, yeah, just a little, feels like a swamp going on. A little swamp action.
Yeah, I'm glad you said action, because I don't want to know about any other swamps, all right?
Yeah, you know, it's getting thunderstorms. I think we're getting ready for one. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Makes it hard to cut the grass that way.
Yeah, there's areas we can't cut because they're still in water. So it's kind of nice.
That's okay. It'll be fine. Mosquitoes will take you away soon anyhow.
Yeah. Chemical warfare and those suckers. But so Brad, who do we got on the show today?
It's appropriate given the fact that you're talking about, heat and humidity. We have Aaron Bay, who's, an HVAC tech for 18 years, got burned out doing all that stuff. Took part-time jobs teaching at local tech schools, teaching HVAC from what he learned. Mm-hmm. Before long, he had people calling him on, hey, I need somebody to trust to go out and do my work. So in June of 2020, he started his own business, LB Home Heating. And little did he know that that part-time job teaching would be the cheat code to building a solid team. He's 5 years into the business. He's no longer a tech in the field. He's a team builder. He's a builder of young men and women in the trades, specifically in HVAC, and he is a culture company guy through and through, and I'm blessed to have him in our network. And so, Aaron, thank you for joining the show today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's a lie, but that's okay. We'll accept it.
Wow. Man, pre-show, during the show, wow. Brad just interviewing everywhere. So, before we go down some tangents, Aaron, which generation do you identify with?
I would identify as the millennial.
Okay.
I'm right on the edge of Gen X and millennial, but I tend to be more millennial.
Oh, like Steve.
We're going to go there?
There's nothing, Steve. There's nothing wrong.
Oh, there's a lot.
Accept it, Steve. Just accept it.
I am not. That's
accept
the thing.
It. Accept nope. It. Yep. Nope. Go ahead.
Nope. Nope, we are still in the Gen X category.
By first year, not by behavior.
Well, behaviors, yeah. I totally am a Gen X.
Not even close.
Anyhow,
Aaron. So, yeah. Burnt out, started your own gig, teaching. How have you created that success of building teams, and what's your cheat code for that?
I think the big thing is just understanding that people come first. When people come first, success happens, whether that's in my team of my employees that are working with me, or it's with our clients. It's just understanding that building those relationships with the people around us is that, I know it sounds oversimplified, that it's a cheat code, but it really is. Put others before yourselves. Make sure you take care of them, and you'll find yourself unusually successful.
So for our audience,
hold on, Steve, just one moment.
Usually
the simple things that are the most complicated to do because they are so simple, and then we overthink them.
Yeah, it's not always easy. I said it was simple. I didn't say it was easy, though.
No one used the word easy, and Steve's experienced this in his career path choices as well, so he can be familiar with that. Go on, Steve. Carry on.
Well, you didn't even have anything to add. What the heck? There was no substance there. So, real curious.
Wow.
Real curious, Aaron. When you're talking about putting people first, for our audience, we all have that concept of, that makes sense. Put people first. What example in your business that you can provide? What's an example that you can provide where you actually put like your employees first?
Okay.
Business needs.
So having been an employee for many, many years out in the field, I remember some of the things that were hard. And often, when it gets to be this hot, muggy, swampy weather that we have right now, it just seems like all you do is you get up early, you go to work, and you come back home dripping wet after a 12-hour day, and you do it over again. But I try to hit the pause button. So we hit the pause button every Friday morning. I don't care how busy it is. So even this morning, we took time and we read a chapter in a book together. I'll go get donuts, or I got a Danish Kringle this morning, which was like, that was it.
So Kringle from where? It's important for those in Wisconsin. They need to know which Kringle it is.
It's a Racine.
Racine Kringle Company?
Yep.
Okay.
The only one. So we'll sit down, we'll eat it together, and we're currently reading through the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay.
Nice. So, that's a good book. It's a great book, and it's the first time I've actually read it through, but I can't say I've ever sat down at another HVAC company and discussed the principles that are inside that book, right? It's always been, how do you fix a condenser? Or how do you fix this furnace? Or how do you sell this? How do you upsell your clients on this? I'm like, well, what if we learn to take care of and how we talk to our clients, we'll find them giving us those 5-star reviews, coming back again, giving us referrals. Often another thing that I'll do is birthdays or anniversaries. I'll do something special for them. So a lot of my guys are young, but I have a couple that are married, and when their wedding anniversary comes around, I want to encourage them to keep their marriage strong. So I often give them a nice gift card to a nice restaurant locally here. So I want to encourage them. Remember, work isn't the only thing. We do that. We work so that we can live. So go live and have a good time with your wife and take her out to dinner somewhere.
Nice.
And I can say from just our interactions here locally that he's not blowing smoke up anybody's ass, right? This is how he runs his company, and this is what's going on. And it's created huge success for him in our arena in the area. And like you said, treat the people and the rest will happen. And not that there's anything wrong with company first or customer first. It's just a choice, and kudos for making that choice.
Yeah. Thank you.
So how has attracting the younger talent been for you the last few years?
Again, he's cheating because he's teaching them.
Oh, well, I mean, he's
cherry picking.
I want people to know this.
I'm cherry picking. So often I'm pulling them out of my class. So I'll have them for a year. I have high school students for a year when I'm teaching part-time. They're looking to get into the trades. So I'm getting kids that are hungry to get into the trades. And I never pick them based on their academic performance. I always will shoulder tap the ones where their character looks strong, because I can teach them how to do HVAC all day long, but I can't unteach bad habits or unteach, rudeness. And so I look to those things. I had one of my students this year come up to me and thank me after class for challenging him. And I said, I made a mental note. I'm like, well, that doesn't happen very often. Let's keep an eye on that one. And sure enough, he was hired just a month ago. But, it comes with its challenges. Right. The younger crowd is going to make mistakes because they're fresh and they're green. But I'm okay with that.
Maybe it was their education.
Nice one. That was a burn.
What?
Wow.
Wow.
That hurts. That is things.
You know, he's on point today.
He's on fire.
Saying, maybe they didn't get the right education.
He's taking notes on this one.
Oh, man.
I still make mistakes even to this day, you know, 23 years later, right? And I think it's just knowing that these young guys are going to make mistakes, but I chose them because they're hungry to learn more. And if trained correctly, they won't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And it's learning to have those hard conversations when they make the mistakes. And I'd love to have any one of them come in here and talk about, you know, without me here. I'd love to know what they said about how does Aaron handle conflict when things aren't going well? Because let's be real.
We
can make that happen.
Yeah, we can.
I'm not afraid of what they would say. I think they would love it. They love working here. I was just talking to somebody about this recently. I mean, who can boast a 100% retention rate? Everybody I hire has stayed here and never left. And it's not like I've been in business for 30 days. It's been 5 years now. Mm-hmm. So when I hire them, they stay and they stay. And they've even been offered more money. And they've come to me with tears in their eyes and say, I don't know why I'm staying here. It doesn't even make sense. I've been offered way more money. And I say, well, how much you've been offered? I'll make sure to match it. You're staying here. But they had already made the decision to stay before I even offered that to them.
I think it's
that relationship that we build. It's almost like a quasi father-son relationship in the business world.
Mm-hmm.
That is spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is very, very powerful to have that type of culture built. And the fact that you're taking that intentionally to do so is even more important to understand, is that is a decision. You have made a decision to do this. It didn't happen by accident.
Absolutely. And it has to be intentional. And he needs to continue. Like, I can never get lazy in that, because as soon as I do, I miss something. And they feel unheard, unseen. And often that's where I think, when we're talking generations, you know, because that's often what this podcast is built on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Millennials, Gen Xers, and even all the way back to the boomers, they miss the mark when it comes to the young people, because they don't understand how they think. They don't understand that, you know, they want to be appreciated. They need to hear that verbalization. They need to see outward actions of it. It's not just you better be lucky you got a job, kid. You know, that doesn't work anymore.
Right.
It does not work anymore right now. I don't think it's going to work even as Gen Alpha comes into the marketplace. Now, you are blessed with children of the Gen Alpha age. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that 14 and younger scenario. What are you potentially seeing from as a business owner, differences between the Gen Z kid and the Gen Alpha kid from behaviors or characteristics or potential aspirations?
That is a heavy question, Brad.
It is, but that's one of my beliefs is, yes, I believe Gen Z is very important to the future of the trades, but they're 28 years old, right? They're 28 to 15. At some point, whatever you're going to catch, you're going to catch. And we got to be able to go back. We've been focused on that the industries tend to not focus further on down the road to capture them, because by fifth grade, people know what they don't want to do. They don't know what they want to do, but they know that I don't want to do A, B, C, and D. So I wasn't sure what you're seeing in your own household potentially.
Yeah, that's, and I feel like it's such a narrow focus, you know, because I know my kids well.
It is.
Right. I know that, you know, if anybody asks me, which one of your kids do you think will take over your business? Well, Right now, none of my boys look like they even are interested in it. It's actually my oldest daughter who would fall into this category that you're saying. She's 11 years old. She's incredibly gifted when it comes to mechanics. She's just like her oldest brother, who can pretty much fix anything or build anything. She's a tough girl, and she's come with me on service calls late at night, even the night before Thanksgiving, just this past fall. She came out with me, and she loved it. She had a blast. So I think it's learning what their giftings are, but I don't know if that's generation specific. It's just identifying what their giftings are, and you know, leaning into that and opening up opportunities for them for that. But I don't know, you know, if I can say that that's a broad sampling of the marketplace.
Do they have a different, do you see a different, between her and her friends and things, do you see a different way they hang out, a different way they engage in communication, a different way in learning?
Okay. Yeah. Communication. I feel like they're constantly on video chats with each other. So they talk to their cousins. Their cousins are some of their best friends, and they're constantly on video calls with them, which drives me crazy. Cause I'm like, what is all that noise going on in the background? I'm like, can you guys turn that down? And like, so then I feel like the old guy, you know, I turn that thing off, but it's just like, they want to be in the presence of their friends or their cousins or whoever it is via video call constantly. They would love to just sit there. They don't even need to be talking to each other. They could be playing separate video games. They can have the thing set up and just be watching each other in silence. I would say that is something that I don't personally understand, but they do.
Okay. I was just curious, right? Because it's it's an insight opportunity that most of our guests, we don't get that chance to to talk through. And because you're tied and so close to the education system sometimes, that maybe you saw some trends or patterns. That's why. Thank you for sharing.
Sure.
The question I have is around the character aspect you had mentioned. And obviously it's easier to see when you've been working with somebody for a while, but when you haven't been working with somebody for a while, and let's say you had an opening and somebody a little older applied, how do you assess the character of that person in the short time that you have with them to know that they're going to be a good fit?
That's a great question, Steve. Cause I've often wondered this myself, because you know, everybody I've hired, I've known for quite some time prior to that, you know, almost a year or more I've known them. So if I was hiring somebody off the street, what would I do? I think the big thing for me would be put them in on, you know, give them scenarios that are uncomfortable, that put them in, this is a moral dilemma, you know, like, all right, you just realized, you know, you're fixing somebody's furnace. You just told them that, let's say the gas valve was bad. You replace the gas valve. It still doesn't work, but you realize you found the loose wire. You're in a hurry. You got somewhere to be tonight. What do? Do you take that gas valve back out? You fix the loose wire and tell them, hey, and like charge them the appropriate amount? Or do you leave the gas valve in there, fix the loose wire, but charge them for the gas valve that they really didn't need in the end? You know? It's a moral dilemma.
That is an awesome scenario.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic scenario.
I've been in it. That's why I wanted to, like, and I, like, I personally have struggled with that, because I'm like,
What did you do?
I often will just I'll take that one out. I'll eat my crow and I'll go back and tell them, well, here's the plus side of it. Hey, I told you it was going to be this much money. It's actually not going to be that much. So you're going to be less. It took me longer. This sucks. I don't want to have to be here anymore, but it's the right thing to do.
Right. All right.
I like that scenario. That is a fantastic scenario, because I'm gonna bet that you'd probably get a 50-50 response of, you'd probably get three responses. One, take the valve out, fix the wire. Two, leave the valve in, fix the wire, charge them for the wire, and not worry about the valve and deal with the ramifications when you got back to the office of the valve cost shrink and get yelled at. Or three, charge the customer the full boat for both fixes.
Yeah. I didn't even think about your middle one, you know? Yeah. Because then, you may be giving the customer value, but now you just basically ate up all the profit or more for your boss.
Correct.
Yeah.
right? And I'll deal with ramifications because I got to go. I got to get to my baseball game, or I got to get to this, or I got to get to that. I don't have the 15 minutes to replace the valve. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to leave it, fix the wire, turn it on. Let's go.
Yeah, right.
So with most of our audience, whether they're in the trades or not, most of them, I would say, own HVAC equipment. What's the number one thing that you see that, man, if this homeowner just did this, they would just, they'd be better off?
Check their air filter. And I'm just as guilty as everybody else. Mm-hmm. I often, like, you know, they say the shoemaker's shoes, the kids are the last one to get shoes. My furnace is the last one to get an air filter. I'll be like, I turn the AC on. I'll be like, dang, when's the last time I checked that air? Now that I'm talking about this, I'm going to go home and check my air filter because I can't remember last time I changed it.
I remember every time, like at another business, they would turn the air on. No air came on. You'd go up, look, and the air filter was plugged. Pull the air filter out, put a new one in, fire it back, and it worked just fine. You'd be amazed at how much just looking at your air filter would save you a little head.
The funny thing is, too, I can't go stay at an Airbnb without going and checking the air filter. My wife is always so embarrassed if she's ever around me.
Wow.
You can't turn it off. You can't, like, a plumber can't turn the plumbing off. You know, an electrician can't turn it off. Right. I can't turn the HVAC off. I'm sitting in a restaurant. I'm staring up at the ductwork, and I'm like, looks good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So this is the point in the show where we're going to go through the bite your tongue scenario.
Ooh.
So, Aaron, whether it's at a teaching gig, back when you were actually an employee, or as the business owner, or even as a father or husband, do you have a story of a point where maybe you shouldn't have said something you did, where you should have bit your tongue and done something different? And if so, what did you learn from it?
I remember kicking somebody's dog, but that was an accident. I hooked the dog. So I didn't mean to. When it comes to biting my tongue, I would have to say it often comes when I sound accusatory towards the customer. This just happened recently, and we recently put in an air conditioner, and you could tell the dog had been pissing on the condenser outside. Clearly, there's stains all over. We found a leak in the air conditioner, but it wasn't there. But the way I presented it to the customer, they understood that, oh, your dog pissing on it created this leak. And he's like, I can't even effing believe that in 1 year this can happen. I'm like, oop, probably shouldn't have said it that way. Got to be careful the way I present this. So, like, watching what I say when I accuse people, like, sometimes it's true, but it's like learning the way to present stuff to customers in a pleasant way. ChatGPT can help with that sometimes. You know that? It's like, help me say XYZ, but help me to say it nicely.
Yeah. Right.
It can. It can definitely help for sure. You just got to give it the right prompt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? And say, hey, without sounding like a suck up, how do I tell somebody to go do this, but make sure they understand it like a 5-year-old, but not like a 5-year-old wrote it.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite prompts, is to help write this thing so a 5-year-old can understand it, but not written by a 5-year-old.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be amazed at what those things sound like after you get done, because it takes away all of our own biases and our own technical stuff and our own jargon and makes it very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron, if people want to find you, they want to talk to you about how you've gone about getting into the education system, or how they could do something in their local community to recruit or put programs together. How do people find you, get a hold of you, contact you?
I have a very unique name. It's Aaron W. Bay. The last name is spelled B-E-A-Y. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, under those handles. I have, you can get a hold of me on my email address, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at lbhomeheating.com. And we can have start a conversation that way as well.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. Kudos to you and your team for building what you're building here in southeastern Wisconsin and setting the example for those in the area to behave differently and changing an industry away from doing all the things that you shouldn't be doing sometimes to doing the right things, as you explained in your moral conversation, right? This is what we expect, and that's important.
Yeah, often we are presented as shysters that are coming in to steal all your money. We're walking in to that with that bias already. So often we have to overcome that. So it's learning to train these guys to overcome that and then to build confidence and trust with them. And I can't commend my team enough. They do it all the time. They do such a great job. They know how to build trust with people.
Trust is the number one factor to get people say yes when they come out for service work. If they don't trust you, if you pull up and
works great for referrals too. Yep. Like they will refer you when they can trust you.
Correct. Yep. Thank you, sir, for being on the show. Have a safe and enjoyable trip on your upcoming vacation. And we will talk to you soon, sir.
All right. I appreciate the invitation. It was great.
Yep. All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.